If you're hot, you can have a seat, number one. Number two, there's a little bit of shade up here, and there is some room in the air-conditioned auditorium right behind us. So, once again, feel free to move whenever you need to. Grab your Bibles. We're in John chapter 20 on Wednesday nights. We're going through the scriptures. We are in John, closing in on John 20, not quite there. But we'll be taking our text out of that. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. The doorkeepers will get you a Bible once you have it. John 20, starting in verse 11. John 20, 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked in the sepulchre. And she saw two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she said to them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him away hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Father, we invite your presence this morning to speak to us, to instruct us, to edify us. Bless us, Lord. Bless this congregation. Bless the understanding of your scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I came across this a number of years ago. It made me laugh. Hopefully it'll do the same to you. It's from Outside Magazine, May 1995. And these are actual questions that people have asked park rangers around the country. So this is the Grand Canyon National Park, big giant Grand Canyon National Park. Question number one, they asked a park ranger there. Number one, is the mule train air conditioned? Well, that's a question I'd ask today. Secondly, someone said this, Grand Canyon, was this man-made? Huge Grand, was this, did we do this? Did we dig this out? Everglades National Park, down there in Florida. Question number one. Are the alligators real? Jump in, find out. Question number two. I think Bucky asked this. What time does the 2 o'clock bus leave? Mesa Verde National Park. Question number one. Did people build this or did Indians? Well, Indians are people, so. Question number two. Why did they build the ruins so close to the road? Question number three. Do you know of any undiscovered ruins? If we knew about them, they wouldn't be undiscovered. Yeah. Carlsbad Caverns National Park. Those big, giant caves. How much of the cave is underground? It's a cave. All of it's underground. That's why it's a cave. Question number two. So what's in the unexplored part of the cave? Question number three. Does it ever rain in here? You're in a cave. Then this one. This one is a sick mind. How many ping pong balls would it take to fill this place up? Stump the chump there. And then finally, Carlsbad Cavern National Park. Someone said this. So what is this? Just a hole in the ground? It's only one of the world's largest cave structures. So what is this? Just a hole in the ground? That's missing it. And we see in our text this morning, Mary missing it. Jesus shows up to her here in John chapter 20, and she misses it. Why didn't she recognize Jesus? Is a question commentators have asked. Some say it was dark. That's possible. Verse 1 says it was very early. It was so dark she may not have been able to make him out in the darkness. Other people have said, no, it's because of the tears in her eyes. They would have clogged her vision. She wouldn't have been seeing clearly. Tears, darkness. Thirdly, commentators have said, and this is what I personally believe, he looked different. Something about our resurrected Lord was different. Because she's not the only one that failed to recognize Jesus. In Luke chapter 24, two disciples are walking along. They couldn't recognize Jesus. They didn't notice him, and he talked for a long time with them. Number three, in John 21, there the seven disciples are in a boat fishing, and Jesus comes to them on the shore, and they don't recognize him there as well. I think maybe Jesus had changed. It's part of my multiple dimensions. It's more than just four dimensions. I won't even go there. But I believe there's more than just the three dimensions of our physical world and the single dimension of time, that we live in a multidimensional world. And the other dimensions that physicists have pretty much figured out, if you look at the string theory, that's where the spiritual world is. So I believe something changed. It says in a moment, we're going to be changed. When we see him, we'll be like him. I believe there's a change that takes place. The body talks about taking off mortality and being clothed with immortality, our heavenly bodies. I believe you just look different. But while I'm not so concerned about why she didn't recognize him, I am concerned with when she did recognize Jesus. When did she recognize him? Look at verse 16. Jesus said unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. When did she recognize Jesus? When he spoke her name. Mary. Mary, Mary, Mary. His voice. When he spoke to her heart, that's when Mary recognized her risen Lord. When he spoke to her. Shouldn't surprise me though. Because in John 10 verse 27, Jesus says this. My sheep, they're going to know my voice. And I know them, and they will follow me. When he speaks my name. When he speaks to my soul, that's when I recognize him, just like Mary. That's the deal. I believe today, a lot of us can fall into a Mary mentality. We fail to recognize our risen Lord. He's there. He wants us to recognize him, but we miss it. So how do we recognize him? I believe it's the same way when he speaks to us, when he speaks the word. Jot down, mark it down if you like, a couple of places in Hebrews. Two ways the book of Hebrews says we'll recognize the voice of our master. Number one, Hebrews chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. Let me read it for you. That section of Scripture is known as the New Covenant. And there in Hebrews chapter 8, verses 10 and 11, it says this. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. The number one way we can recognize our Lord, when he speaks to our heart, when he writes his will on our heart. That's the number one way that I believe we can recognize our risen Lord. The old covenant was this. God took his finger on tablets of stone and wrote 10 commandments. Do this, don't do that. If you live by these things, you're going to have a great life. If you break them, you're going to die. That's the old covenant. The new covenant is this. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to be with you there. You may not recognize me at time. You might think I'm a gardener, but I'm going to walk with you, and I'm going to be writing my will on your heart. Not a list of do's and don'ts, but rather, each day, as you go through your day, I'm going to speak to you in a still, small voice. Write a letter to your brother. Write a letter to your mother. Tell them how much you love them. Pray for your coworker. Ask that sister, ask that brother how they're doing. God's going to write His will on our heart as we walk through life. His will on our heart. Make your pastor a big batch of monster cookies. God's will. Definitely. Not for me, it's for Mark Skudstat. He loves cookies. Is as you go through life, God is going to write it on your heart. Now, Matt, I've heard that before. And that's where I struggle. Because I'm not sure if it's God writing His will on my heart or if it's Aunt Dorothy's triple cheese enchilada giving me heartburn. How do I know the difference? How do I know when it's God's hand on my heart or when it's just heartburn? That brings us to the second way we can recognize our risen Lord. The second way, not only is He going to write it on our heart, but the word in our hand. See, if you flipped over a chapter or two to chapter 10, verse 7, Jesus says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It speaks of me." What we have in our hands, yes, 66 different books, written by 40 different authors over a period of 1,500 years, but there is one single subject in God's Word. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Jesus Christ. I come in the volume of the book. And if you want to recognize your risen Lord, look for Him everywhere in God's Word. You'll find Him there, hidden away, as gardeners. You'll find Him there, hidden away in the sacrifices. You'll find Him there in the law, in the Psalms, in the prophets. That's the second way. Not only is He going to write it on our heart, but you'll be able to discern whether it's God speaking or whether it's Aunt Dorothy's triple cheese enchilada giving you heartburn by God's Word. It'll discern. See, what God writes on your heart will never contradict the word in your hand. It never will. And so you can begin to discern God's will as you learn God's word. It's that simple. That's why here at Edgewater Christian Fellowship, we don't give lists of do's and don'ts. We just simply want you to learn God's word. Why? Because then you personally will be able to discern, is this God's will for me? Is this the way I should go? Is God speaking to me? Because you'll know Him through His scriptures. Because He comes in the volume of the book. Matt, I know these things. I know God speaks to my heart. I've heard Him. I know He comes in the volume of the book. There's no doubt about it. I know that. I know you do. I just wanted to remind you of it. But I believe there's another way that we can overlook in recognizing our risen Lord. It's a way that I've overlooked. I've fallen into it. And I shared this with the Wednesday night crew, I don't know, 8 months ago or so, but I think it's important enough that I want to share it with you. Because I think we miss oftentimes Jesus in our lives. We miss recognizing our risen Lord because we don't understand something. I understood it. I was made clear to me. I'd missed it before that. I went to India last year in September. Had a great time over there. We got to do a Bible conference. Teach about 400 pastors through the book of Romans. We got to put in a water filtration system there in a village. Reach out to these really deep, deep remote villages that rarely see an American and hardly ever hear the gospel. It was wonderful. But while we were putting in this water filtration system, it attracted a lot of attention there in that village. People were kind of coming out of the woodwork and, what are you guys doing? What are all these people, these white guys doing here? And one of the guys it attracted was this tall, skinny guy. I mean, he was skinny. I'm skinny. But this guy, he was so skinny, he would have to run around in a shower just to get wet. You know, skinny. That one takes a second. I mean, the guy was rail thin. Well, we find out, come to find out, he has tuberculosis. The minute I found that out, I was very wary of him. He would have these coughing fits where he would cough for 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes straight. And you're just, you know, I made sure I was upwind of him, quite frankly. I was worried about that. He had his fingers, the blood doesn't flow right when you have tuberculosis. And so his fingers, they became really barreled. Where you have flat fingernails, his fingernails were like, they were a half circle. Really interesting looking. So I made sure that I stayed away from him. When we gathered around to pray for him, I extended my hand towards him, kind of, a little bit, just barely. I didn't want to get tuberculosis. I stayed away. But there was one gal that went with us, Maureen Wright. And the whole time he was there, she was right there beside him, giving him hugs. She's a nurse. She was checking him medically. She was loving him, giving him drinks of her water. I was like, Maureen, have you lost your mind? What are you doing? You're crazy. He has tuberculosis. Stay away from him. But she didn't. And a couple days later, I took the word that was in my hand, and God began to write on my heart something that really changed me. And I pray it might change you. Turn over with me to Matthew chapter 25. It helped me to realize that, you know what? I miss it. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, this is the return of Jesus Christ, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall he gather all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. Sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry and fed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And verse 40, the King of kings, shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Maureen, she hadn't lost her mind. She had discovered her master. She realized this truth. In that guy with tuberculosis in India was Jesus. By ministering to him, by loving on him, she was actually loving on her Savior. She recognized the risen Lord in that guy. I missed it. I didn't see it. And if you talk to Maureen, she'll tell you that one of the highlights of her trip was meeting that guy with tuberculosis, getting to visit with him, getting to show him God's love, blessing him. That's the highlight of her trip. Why? Because in him she saw her Savior. Genesis 1 says, we've been created in the image of God. Jesus would say today to you and me, you want to see me? You want to see me? You want to recognize me? I might be the gardener. I might be the least of these in your mind. The guy that you would never expect. The sick, the poor, the hungry, the homeless, the prisoner. And while I missed it, I'm so glad that this church body is not missing it. You guys are getting it. We are? Absolutely. Let me tell you how. We're sending another trip to India here in about a month or two. We're sending another trip of eight guys who said, we're going to take our 2 weeks of vacation, not go to Maui, not go to Hawaii, nothing wrong with those places. I love them. But we're going to go to India. And so when we heard about that, Edgewater Christian Fellowship, we wanted to get behind them. And we find out that we have the opportunity to build seven churches in India, seven brand new churches. Guess how much? Check this out. $1,500 each for a church over there. Buy the property, by the materials, and the guys, they're going to build it. So we said, we're behind that. Absolutely, we want to do that. That is Matthew 25 ministry. Let us do that. So we're going to be able to, as a congregation, build seven churches in September in India. Praise the Lord. Not only that, but we're going to be able to teach through the book of John over there, giving them instruction so they can discern God's will as he writes it upon their heart. Not only that, but they're going to do outreaches into 25, 30 different villages over there. People that have never had the Lord declared to them will have the opportunity to hear about Jesus Christ. That's great. On top of that, we have a doorkeeper here. He is from Vietnam. You guys know who the doorkeepers are? The guys that hand out the fans to you. One of those guys. He's from Vietnam. And he has family back there. And we're looking at the possibility of going into Vietnam and seeing what we can do over there. I just am trying to contact a good friend of mine, Chris Thompson. He's in China. We might try to do something in China as well. Mississippi. There's a group that got together, said, we understand people lost everything. Homes, clothes, you name it. Because of Hurricane Katrina. So we're going to take our vacation, take our funds, and we're going to Mississippi, and we're going to rebuild their homes for them. What a blessing. But you don't have to travel thousands of miles to do it. There are, in your bulletin, there's a clothes swap. Naked, Jesus says, you clothe me. It's a clothes swap for people that have extra clothes. You can donate to that or you can receive from that. Beautiful, awesome, wonderful ministry. There's the wheels and meals thing, where if you need a ride, we can help you get a ride. If you need a meal, there's a group of ladies that have decided, you know what, that's what we want to do. We want to provide meals for people that are going through troubled times. Maybe sickness or health issues or death in the family. We want to provide meals for them. There is all kinds of ways that you guys are filling in for my weakness, for my gaps. And I love that. And I know this, people that are doing that, you're recognizing your risen Lord in those people that you minister in a Matthew chapter 25 kind of way. Well, Matt, you're supposed to be encouraging me. That is not. I want to go to India. I want to do these trips. I want to go to Mississippi, but at this point in my life, I can't. I have family. I have career. I have education. I just simply can't do it. Let me encourage you as well. Because here's the deal. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, we won't turn there. I'll try to keep this brief. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, King David comes home to his hometown there. It's before he's the king. It's been destroyed. They're out to battle. They come back. Their families, everything is gone. And so he gets his 600 men together and says, we got to go after them. We got to get our stuff back. Well, 200 of his 600 men said, we can't do it. We can't do it. Physically, we're too tired. So David said, stay here. The 400 men go out. They defeat the enemy. They take back a bunch of extra stuff and bring it back. When they come back, it says some wicked men decided, that's it. You 200 that stayed here with the stuff, you're not getting any reward. We'll just give you your wives and your kids and now get lost. But David said, no way. They will be equal partners with us. We are going to divide the spoil 600 ways and give each one of the guys that stayed with the stuff the same reward as those that went into battle. And it says in verse 25 of 1 Samuel 30 that was an ordinance from that day forward. If you're staying with the stuff, here praying, giving to this ministry, supporting, giving encouragement to the next generation to go for it, I believe that the greater than King David, our Jesus Christ, is going to reward you just as well. You're going to partake in it. Because that's where the body comes into play. We're a body. And what we do in totality. What we're doing in India, Edgewater Christian Fellowship, is being used in that way. So you guys will be equally rewarded, I'm sure of it. And I simply want to say, on this very sunny morning, I love being part of this church. I love to see guys going for it in a Matthew chapter 25 kind of ministry, reaching out to those that others may have overlooked. It takes place at the Gospel Rescue Mission. We help them financially, but more importantly, there's guys on leadership that every single month they go into the Gospel Rescue Mission. They teach the Bible there. They pray, they counsel, they help, they assist people there in a beautiful way. It's happening right here with you guys, and I'm so blessed to be a part of a congregation that says, we're going to do a Matthew 25 thing. We're going to keep looking for those that others have overlooked. Why? Because we're going to recognize our risen Lord in them. Why? Well, verse 34 says, we'll be rewarded eternally because of that. There's going to be rewards for you when you do that. And so Edgewater Christian Fellowship, keeping it short, keep your eyes open this week, this month, this year. Recognize the Lord Jesus as he writes his will upon your heart, as we study through the scriptures, and as God brings people into your path that you may say, that's the least of these. Those are people that you know, others have overlooked. That could be the very person that displays to you, reveals to you a part of Jesus Christ that you would have never seen otherwise. So keep your eyes open and watch and see Jesus Christ appear to you just like he did to Mary, just like he did. you'll recognize the risen Lord in a Matthew 25 way when you reach out to those that have been overlooked. Amen? Father, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for their desire to know your scripture so they can better discern your spirit. For their desire to reach out to those that others may have overlooked. And I pray, Lord, in individual lives, that they would be able to be seeing you in the ones that they minister to. As we reach out to a community, as we reach out to others, to those that others may have overlooked, Lord, bless us in those ways in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Keep real cool today.